Hi, I'm Lauren Klaas-Schneider with Class Notes for Broadway Radio. Our guest today is Jonathan Silverstein, the Artistic Director at the King Company and Director of Jonathan Larson's Tick, Tick, Boom. Welcome, Jonathan.
Thank you so much. Lovely to be here, Lauren.
Glad to have you. My first question, what was it like for you to direct this autobiographical material, and what does it mean for you to tell what we know to be Jonathan Larson's story?
Well, it's interesting. While it's Jonathan Larson's story, it had always felt to me a really universal story, not only to artists, but really to anyone who has to risk anything to follow their dream. So I'm a huge Jonathan Larson fan. I love his work, and I think he's a genius. But really, I think what us all in the room felt is we were telling a true story of an artist and also his friends and sort of getting through a particular moment in time. And that's what we were all really drawn to. And the fact that it is Jonathan Larson and to bring his work back at this time was very important to me as an artist and an artistic director, and to really get behind the personal of his story and to remind everyone who he was and the life he led beyond Rent.
Mm-hmm. And then what did it mean for you to tell that story in its universality?
Well, I found it it was very moving to me. I found Jonathan's struggle with whether to continue to be an artist or whether to choose a different path, maybe a more commonly traveled path, really resonated for me. I certainly, throughout my 20s and my 30s, and sometimes even in my 40s, question the decisions I've made as an artist. And the whole song is Johnny Can't Decide to me, besides the fact that my name is in there. People do call me Johnny. I really connect with that song and that struggle. And that was the first piece of the show that really resonated with me. So I found the whole experience to be an extremely moving one and an extremely personal one. And I often find in directing shows that the things that are the most personal end up being the most universal to so many people.
Oh, how interesting. Well, let's talk a little bit about Johnny Can't Decide.
Sure. Well,
do any of the lyrics come to your mind?
Yes. I mean, I will say the one lyric that really hits me, and I would say hit us as a cast, mm-hmm. is when he says, Johnny sees that Susan's right, ambition eats right through you. Mm-hmm. And that really was a key that we discovered in the Susan-Jonathan relationship, but even the way that Jonathan thinks about himself and his own relationship to work and how it is a positive and a negative thing. And is this something he could get beyond or not, or is that just a core of who he is, and maybe it's something not to get beyond. So it's something that lyric, particularly to me, hits me hard, and I think it hit us hard in the room.
Absolutely. Yeah, it seems like it became a unifier to a large extent as well.
Absolutely, and I think it sort of really speaks to Jonathan's struggle and also his friend's struggle in how to help him through this really crucial moment in time.
Mm-hmm. And thinking about how the show and how the material sheds light on the plight of an up-and-coming artist, and you talked about the universality for yourself, does it relate for the actors in a personal way in that same way? And I don't know if you could speak for them.
100%, I would say. Let's take Nick, for instance. Now, Nick has an interesting background in that he's also a composer, mm-hmm. As well as an actor. And so I think he was extremely moved by the story and took it very personally, in a wonderful way. I would And just to add to that, he had a very interesting journey with the piece in that he really looked up to Jonathan Larson, and it was one of his heroes when he was growing up. And so it even held an even greater place for him that, in a weird way, he had to discard in order to play the role and sort of like not just deify him, but look at him as a person, as an artist, as we all did. Mm. In a different extent, certainly, for George and Sierra and then Lily, I think it really did speak to them to not only look at the journey that Jonathan took, but then to look at the opposite journey that their characters took. And all know, I mean, I think we've all been at that place where we've been like, where we've been, you know, I think I want to do something that's more, that's easier, that I don't have to struggle so much for. Maybe I want that beautiful apartment, or I want Cape Cod. And, you know, we've all made choices that sort of go in a different direction to that, but that doesn't mean that that struggle and that conflict are not within us often. And so I think we all kind of really related to both sides of that coin, or maybe, shall I say, three sides of that coin, if that's possible.
Right, a three-sided coin for this makes absolute sense.
Exactly.
Directorially for you, what was the homework like for you to prepare to work with this material?
Well, I've actually directed Tick, Tick, Boom before. I directed it once before, 12 years previously. It was actually the first musical I had ever directed at Cape Rep Theater in Brewster, Mass. And so I kind of had that in my back pocket as we were starting this, although I approached it very, very differently than that production. But if I go back to it,
something like different in you 12 years later also.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. So I think I was probably like 35 when I directed it the first time. And so turning 30 was a lot closer to me.
Right.
But the thing that at that time I really delved into Jonathan's life. And I had seen Rent and loved it, but really wasn't obsessed with it the way certain other people were. So I really delved into his life. I know Dave Auburn, so I was able to access Victoria Leacock, who was one of the original producers and one of Jonathan's best friends, and she was just sort of a treasure trove of getting to know Jonathan. And so I really kind of immersed myself in that world, and then when I did it again this time, I got to chat with even more people. Matt O'Grady, who happens to be the bassist for Michael. Another Jonathan, a friend of his, Jonathan Burkhart, who was a really good friend of his sister, Julie. So there was a lot of other people that I kind of got to really delve into to learn more about Jonathan's life and sort of realize that so much of Tick, Tick, Boom was real, that these things really happened, even if they were twisted just a bit, to sort of, you know, make into one piece. So there was that piece of it, the really kind of like getting to know the personal of Jonathan Larson before Rent and his life. So there was that, and then I would say the sort of like other part of it was sort of immersing our whole team, immersing it in this story we were going to tell and how we were going to tell it. The first time I directed it, it was really we did it all in Jonathan's apartment, so that you were always aware that you were in his apartment and that he was kind of putting on this show. And this time that we went through it, we kind of went a little further into the idea that this was kind of a workshop performance, that he was actually getting together his friends and a band and telling this story. And so particularly, you know, really prepping for this production, we really tried to create a fluid atmosphere where we could tell this story very theatrically and bare bones and very out in the open. And that was something that the team and I really immersed ourselves in. What would that have been like in 1990, when he was trying to tell this story? I only say 1991 because that's when I graduated from college, and I was just thinking back to that moment and how that influences everything as well.
No doubt. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you alluded to it a little bit, but if you were to think about one of the biggest challenges in bringing the show to life now, what would that be, or what was that for you?
Well, I don't. One of the challenges of Bring It to Life Now wasn't necessarily the like, oh my gosh, is this story relevant anymore? I took that as a given because mm-hmm. I feel like it's so universal. This struggle of an artist is always universal. Mm-hmm. However, I did find it really interesting and a challenge to kind of know that it was written about a time when not a lot had happened. I love when he says, like, mm-hmm. we haven't been through a war, we haven't been through this, we haven't been through that, we haven't been through anything important, and now we're at a time in which we've been through so much that is so important, it's a very different world. So I wanted to kind of, like, you know, take a look at kind of what that would be like. And how that might hit our audience in a different way. Mm-hmm. But the other challenge, I would say, is this was a one-man show that he wrote for himself. It's mm-hmm. essentially one long monologue with songs and scenes in between. And while Dave Auburn and Stephen Aremus and Scott Schwartz all kind of really put this together to make it a three-person musical, mm-hmm. it really is sort of like his one-man show with all these other things kind of put in the middle of it. And what we really wanted to do is really show this as a three-person show and see how these other two – really kind of delve into these other two people's lives as well mm-hmm. and how they were telling the story too. And that was a really interesting mm-hmm. challenge that we faced as storytellers and how to tell this story. And so we didn't want we wanted to kind of always keep the focus on them and not mm-hmm. put them in the dark and really see how this was a story about three people, not just one.
Hmm. Well, in closing, I'm going to say I look forward to seeing your version of Tick, Tick, Boom 12 years from now.
Oh, boy. Wow, that would be a very different piece.
Let's just get that on the calendar for 12 years from now. And I'm so pleased to have shared this time with you, Jonathan. Thank you. I'm Lauren Klass-Schneider for Class Notes with Broadway Radio, visiting with Jonathan Silverstein, the director of Tick, Tick, Boom. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lauren.